You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports, you can find them online. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. In fact, they are giving away a Yamaha golf cart at Impact Power Sports. A Detroit Lions Yamaha golf cart at Impact Power Sports. This is it right here. The guy closest to us on there, that's Drew. And I don't know who that is with him. Is that his dad? I don't think so. No, that's definitely not his dad. That would be Ron. No, that's Drew, and it's you know, part of the festivities. Stand by. Over at Gun Lake Casino Resort. Bob says, can I enter to win? Absolutely. Being that you're in Pennsylvania, it's real simple. You just drive to Michigan and then drop your name in the box at Gun Lake Casino Resort. If you want in on this, you can also head over to Gun Lake Casino and Resort for the Detroit Lions watch parties over at 131 Sports Bar. The Lions are off this week, but on November 2nd, that would be next Sunday, show host Steve will be there at 1 o'clock. So drop in and say, hey, Eric Zane sent me. The week after, Kelly Cheese will be there. You can drop in and say hi to her. That's a 425 joint. After that, Jana will be there. And then Maitland will be there on Sunday the 23rd for Charlie Kirk Hot Take Day. All right. Alan says they're going to jail sex the Vikings. Yeah, the Vikings got beat yesterday on Thursday Night Football. And the Lions are pretty good this year. Becca Shea is here. She said she had her interview at Costco. You know, my neighbor here runs the joint over there. And some time ago, I put in a good word for her. And I, you know, you strike me as the type of person that would be a good Costco employee because you're photogenic. One thing that you'll never, ever be able to forget is that all Costco employees look impeccable. They take care of themselves and they dress well. It's like they said, all right, before we hire you, we want to make sure you don't look like a slob. Like if I try to get a job at Costco, I couldn't get a job. I look too haggard and old. You can be old. You just can't look old. which is why there are no mutants that work there. They want intelligent, successful, energetic, clean, and together people at Costco. The job interviews aren't actually to, you know, determine whether or not you can do the job. It's just to make sure that you don't look like some of the mutants that are hired at places like Walmart. That's where, and the Jennison Meyer, because that's where the mutants go. Megan says, if I worked at Costco, I would want to be making pizzas with that cool sauce machine. Yeah, the kitchen area is a big hit. That is the place to go. It's like a bar. There's so many people hanging out. Like, if you're a dude and you want to, like, meet your next soulmate, you can meet, you know, a chick who's probably got a family. She's trying to make ends meet, single mom. And then you can get some traction that way. Tyler says that's why they ask for headshots with your application. It's true. They want to know how you look. God, there's this one silver-haired lady there that for years I've seen. She is so photogenic. Absolutely awesome. All right. So good luck with that. I'm glad so far that you are in there. I think you'd make a great addition to their staff. Becca Shea, part of this amazing audience. I'll just come out and say it. Yesterday on the Patreon, it was the end of the ride for an EZ Show audience member. It takes a lot to make this happen, but it did happen. It's been a long time coming with this particular audience member. And it finally was time. In fact, I spoke with several of you and they said, yeah, it's long overdue. So I did the old easy, gave the audience member their walking papers. Now, sometimes that happens publicly, I guess as public as Patreon can be, or sometimes not publicly, like with the other person who shall not be named. But when I have a full-on banning, sometimes it happens out in the open, sometimes it does not. This one was out in the open, and this was a culmination of years and years of thinking, yeah, I'm not so sure about this person. And has been kind of teetering on the brink. And finally, something went down yesterday on Patreon that pushed it over the abyss. So the official goodbye was said on the podcast. And then the subsequent follow-up work, I had discussions with various audience members, several of which were like, yeah, I'm surprised it lasted this long. So that is that. And if you want the further explanation as to what happened there, you're more than welcome to check it out on Patreon. I left it all there, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for you to witness. It did come out of the blue, the comment that was made. And let me just say this. If you know you've been, you know, circling the drain as an audience member, and this person was well aware of that, like, you know, I don't necessarily think we are seeing eye to eye, but whatever. I'll let things lie. Out of the blue, this weird aggressive moment and a strange accusation about me was made. And it's like, you know, if it had been someone else, I would have just let that slide and rolled with it and laughed it off. But with this particular person, it was not going to happen. And it was remarkably malicious. So I don't have to put up with that. So let me just say that now we are completely in clear air. There is no one in the audience that I've that he is here right now that I have any, you know, hesitations about from a personality standpoint. But I was like, okay. In fact, if you watch it back, I didn't rage, but I was remarkably annoyed, and I took my time in explaining how angry I was, and it was, I listened back to it. It was fantastic. It was some of my best work. And that's saying a lot because, as everybody knows, everything I do is amazing. So I went ahead and did that, and I've been hearing from audience members a lot since then saying, you know, it's about damn time. It's about damn time. Tyler says, it struck me as a very controlled rage. Thank you. Yeah, you don't want to lose it. You want to remain calm and telling someone to go fuck themselves. You know? But I don't like that. I don't like that the rest of you had to sit through that. And, you know, when it was done, I was like, well, now what do I do? Do I continue on with the show? And I'm like, I don't think I can. I feel bad for everybody. And I can't. I mean, the only thing anybody's going to be thinking about now is going to be what just happened. So if I start to talk about whatever, it's just going to lay flat and be weird. So that's why I bailed. Nick, the black belt, says, I couldn't believe it of all the things to say about you. It was so weird. It was just the oddest thing. And I know you're like, hey, well, what was it? Well, there is a little bit of showbiz in this. This is a perfect opportunity for you to go to Patreon and sign up for a free 7 days and hear me literally destroy the latest audience member that has been given the black flag, if you will. There have only been a handful of members of the audience who have been given the black flag. You had the mass exodus of whatever year that was with the former Zaniacs. You had the moment in March of this of 2025 with one of two of He Who Shall Not Be Named. And then yesterday, it takes a lot. You really got to. And the thing is, for me, it's death by a thousand cuts when it's like, all right, more trouble than you're worth. That's what it boils down to. And I, you know, when it came to the previous one of He Who Shall Not Be Named, I felt bad about it. And then I kept talking to an audience member who I was like, I feel bad. I want to let He Who Shall Not Be Named back into the fold. And this audience member said, don't do it. Don't do it. You are being manipulated by all of these attempts to get back on the show, to be part of the chat. And I said, all right, I guess you're right. But so then I held firm finally, and now that is since come and gone. And then, so that made this, that's actually taught me this moment here. I don't feel bad about it. I don't have any reservations or hesitations or thinking that, you know, after I've calmed down, I don't feel that way anymore because I've learned that that's just what you have to do. Now, I did talk with one of my advisors on the show who said, hang on, my throat is killing me. You know, there's nothing to keep these people from listening. They can make fake names, and I'm sure that they do. And they can listen, and they can even participate under different names. And I would be none the wiser. I would not know that. But it still has to be in the back of their mind that I don't care for them. I don't want them here. They better not reveal who they really are, or I then will have to ban that fake account. But you know, that's true. So you could even have someone who comes in here and creates a whole new identity and then merges in with the show, and then I could be unsuspectingly reading your comments and enjoying them. But know this, it's a fake identity. If I know who you really are, I would then treat it accordingly. I don't go backwards. I only go forward. And kudos to the audience member who said it's okay, Easy, if you're not comfortable with these moments. and you go ahead and do what you did. It is okay to do that, you know? Cole says, not that he ever had his mind. And then he says, AutoMod blocked my first comment. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. About yesterday's takedown of this nameless audience member, Tyler says, it was an excellent shellacking, worth the price of admission for sure. Alan says, and then he had the balls to say that he was sick of this shit. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. It's like, you? No, it really not a problem. There was a lot. I got a lot of comments with like, yeah, he was always an odd one. No one ever knew what was going on with that guy. So, all right, if you want that, you can check it out with 7 days free at patreon.com/Eric Zane. I blocked the person on Patreon. I blocked the person on Twitch here. I blocked the person on Facebook. This person had already been blocked on texts and email, despite being a regular member of the audience, because I was just so sick of having to deal with this. Okay. I'm sure this person will, of course, make a fake account and be part of the audience on Twitch. That's fine, but would never dare of admitting who they really were. No one will ever do that because they know then I'll just block that and we'll continue with this cycle of ridiculousness. Okay. But for the rest of you, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. And onward we go. Pooh Bear is leaving me. Okay, not for good. Thank God. She is leaving me today. Actually, I'm not going to see her. Like, at 7 a.m. was the last time I'm going to see her until Monday. That's not great. She has to go take care of my dad. Meanwhile, today for me, I get my work done here, and then I have to be at the oncology veterinarian for O'Neill. He is suspected to be diagnosed with lymphoma. It is not yet official. They have not actually gotten eyes on cancer cells on a microscopic level. Diagnostics will be done today, which could possibly confirm that. I am still holding out hope that they'll come back in from the lab and say, yeah, we were wrong. He's fine. Go home. And then I will weep. I'll probably weep either way. So his treatment will then commence more than likely after that diagnosis is confirmed. So I have to get him there for a 2 p.m. So I need to have all this stuff buttoned up podcast-wise before that, because this might take a while. It might be upwards of 2.5 hours over at Blue Pearl. And then I got to get him home, feed him, and then I'm off to the rink. We've got a hockey tonight. I just sent the tickets off to Kuypers. I had 4 free. If Kuypers has one extra, because it's only the only people that Kuypers is going to the game with, it's Kuypers and then Mommy and Daddy. All right. So Kuypers, Mommy, and Daddy will be in the commissioner's seats that I have for the season. 4 in a row. And there's only 3 because you have Kuypers is 1, Mommy is 2, and Daddy is 3. If any of you want to hang out with Kuypers, message Cutie Patootie and say, hey, I'm going with you to the hockey game. First person to get a hold of Kuypers gets those tickets or gets that ticket to the game. Ben Glaze says Linda as a date. Oh, so that would mean our very own murder lover Linda and Cutie Patootie seated next to each other and then mommy and daddy. That would be an awesome first date. Well, you know, that's perfect for Kuipers because he loves MILFs. Well, in Linda's case, she's a GILF because I think she's like 66 years old now or something like that. She's as old as Pooh Bear is, which is 69 years old. So she's that old. Bunch of cradle robbers here. My God. Sarah Rook Rock Rook is here. She says, oh, shoot, I'm going to be out of town. Otherwise, I could have been mommy number two. Alan says Linda sounded interested on Ben and Eric. Ben Glaze is here, comedic legend. He says, yeah, they'd be playing hide the fingers. Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any finger banging in the stands, Ben Glaze. Which, by the way, Ben Glaze made a big announcement on his comedy career on the latest edition of the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. It's not a 100% announcement, but it sure seemed like something was going to happen. You can find out more information on the latest edition of the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast on platform number two. That would be Twitch. All right. So there's a lot happening here. I am headed up. So today, after the hockey game, and then Saturday arrives, I have to head up way north of the Hard Living Line for the Odawa Casino Petoskey at the very tip of Michigan. Petoskey's beautiful community. They have the big Halloween contest, Halloween costume contest. I have to judge the contest. So I get there Saturday, alone, hang out, judge contest, go to bed, wake up, back home Sunday. So another busy, busy day for your old pal EZ, or busy weekend for your old pal EZ. It's just one thing after another these days. And I'm here for it, frankly. That's the way it has to be. Getting some intense snoring in the background, by the way. Shh, listen. I think that's Darla. Megan says, are you the only contest judge? I don't know. I'm a little lean on the details. Bob says, hard living costume contest. Who has the best sheet ghost? I'm expecting no costumes. And they'll all just be dressed up as hobo. By the way, Bob being here, he says, 2.5 hours diagnostic test at the vet. That'll run you another $8,000, won't it? Probably. I'm trying not to think about that. That's the only way I get through these moments is avoiding the look into the crystal ball. Processing only the things that are in front of my eyes. That is the only way I do this. All right. Thank you so much for being here as part of the show. And for the folks that are watching on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, I am going to kick you out. If you want the rest of the show, you have to join me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. That's right, twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Head over there, follow the page, come up with a username, and get after it. This whole show is not on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, which you will find out right now. If you want to reach out with me, with maybe a suggestion, maybe a news flash, maybe a complaint, or perhaps even a compliment, which I'm always fishing for, head over to Eric at ericzaneshow.com send me an email on the Shoreliners Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. All right. I will kick you all out. Thank you. Oh, by the way, for the audience, also on Kick. That's another platform that I'm on. Thank you so much to them. I don't know why I'm thanking them. They had nothing to do with it. I just put it up there. All right. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. They take care of me on Twitch and Facebook. Thank you to them, as always. All right. We have a new clubhouse leader when it comes to causing a bunch of fervor when it comes to men who then identify as women and then get involved in women's sports. This is the story of a swimmer who does not compete professionally, but does compete in various events that are sanctioned by World Aquatics. So this is like the equivalent of when I was being the best at exercising in triathlon. You know, I do all those races and as an amateur, and you want to do the best in your age group. So you do the swim, you do the bike, you do the run, and then at the end, if you're the top three, you get the podium. Yeah, all right. And then you go back and you feel good about yourself and you're all healthy and amazing. And then you spend hours each week training. Well, this person was born a dude and became a chick. Anna Caldas. I'm going to show you Anna's image. Swims Masters, which is old people. So Anna is in the 45 to 49 year old age group, amateur, swims, wins everything, kicks everybody's ass as a female. All right. Anna is built like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Extremely powerful. And has been beating everybody's ass in women's swimming. Look at the shoulders on Anna. Bob says, not even trying. It's like the South Park bit. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Here's another shot of Anna. Looks a lot like a... I better not say it. I'll get in trouble. Here's another shot of Anna. Okay. Riley Gaines, who has been very outspoken, who is a professional swimmer, been very outspoken about transgender people competing like this.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Writes, not AI, not a Babylon Bee post, not a South Park episode, not an SNL skit. This is real life. Okay, so why is this coming up? Why in the world should anybody be interested in a story about amateur swimming? And I think it's because of the bigger picture here. And you know as well as I do how outspoken I am about everything that's on my brain. And as much as I have been very, very supportive of my brothers and sisters when it comes to sexuality and gender, being that my son-in-law was born a female and is now a male, I have had discussions with my son-in-law and my daughter my son-in-law's wife about this. And I've said, quote unquote, without mincing words, I don't care what you tell me. There is no way in hell that that is appropriate. Sorry. And they don't agree with me, but I'm like, it's okay that you don't agree, but you're wrong. And that's the end of it. There's no way that all of these women that work their asses off should be competing against someone like a, whatever this person's name is again, Anna something. I don't feel that that's appropriate. Just my personal belief. I feel bad for women who have to deal with that shit. Again, I still think you should do, like if you had an amateur swim program like this and World Aquatics, just come up, just have a, because there's going to be more and more people that come out as transgender. Just have a division for men that used to be women and women that used to be men. And if there's only one, who cares? They still win. They still get on the podium. That's the way you do it. You can't take men becoming women and mix them in with biological women. You just can't do it. It's not right. It's not fair. And I'm not even talking about the optics of it, because like this person in particular is looks enormously powerful in a masculine way. It's just not right. It's not fair. I can't get behind that. Bob says there's plenty of trans people who do agree with you on that. Well, yeah, I mean, I think when the fact that I have arguably the greatest athlete that ever walked the face of the earth, Bruce Jenner, who became Caitlyn Jenner, on Team EZ for this one. I mean, I should say I'm on Team Caitlyn Jenner. The fact that when Caitlyn Jenner was Bruce Jenner, was a top-level gold medal world record-holding male decathlete, becomes a woman, and then says, yeah, this shouldn't be. You shouldn't have to do that. More on that in a second, that story. I'm going to go over some of the comments. David says, it sounds like a potential asshole of the day. Murder lover Linda says, come on! Sarah says, looks like a dude. Bob, not even trying. It's like the South Park bit. Sarah adds, so has she had her front rudder removed? I don't know. Alan says, Anna with a 12-inch cock-a-doodle-doo. Stevie does not like the direction of these comments by you animals. At least I'm being fair, and you guys are being disgusting. She says, wow, you guys. Amy is here. She says, I have noticed that when I sign up for races, a lot of them have a category for transgender when selecting your gender, or even prefer not to say. But then I think you are removed from winning a category. Megan says, so is that a whole other category with winners? I don't know if you know that, Amy. Okay, so here's what happened. Anna Caldas was approached by the World Aquatics Organization. And they said, we need to get a gender verification test from you. And called us, despite, you know, this unbelievable physique, and, I mean, born a man, we can all assume that. Adam's apple, looks like the Rock, looks like a man in the face, says is a woman, does not want to take the chromosomal tests. Which, first off, let me park on this. This physique on Anna here, Anna's 47 years old. I think that Anna, if Anna wanted to compete with the boys. Anna would beat the boys' ass. Get in there and compete with the boys. My God. World Aquatics says, look, you gotta provide proof that you're a woman. Anna opted not to and was banned for 5 years. Anna, who actually goes by Hannah, but calls herself Anna, I guess. I don't know. A lot of names of this person. Explained that they feel it is not medically necessary to undergo costly chromosomal testing that is not covered by their insurance. So Anna, Hannah, excuse me, goes by they, them. And said, yeah, I don't want to pay for it. Chromosomal tests are invasive and expensive procedures, says Caldas, who transitioned from male to female. My insurance refuses to cover such a test because it is not medically necessary. No U.S. state requires genetic tests for recreational sports events, even like these, not even U.S. Masters swimming. The national governing body for recreational adult swimming in the U.S. demands this for any of its events. Yeah, if you're World Aquatics, I mean, I honestly, it's a bummer for swimmers to have to compete someone that has this much of an advantage, but at least Caldas is right. It's you know, there's nothing on the line. It's not like there's livelihood at stake or money to be earned. It's just amateur swimming. So I think maybe even it would be okay if they said, it's totally fine that Anna swims with the chicks and beats the shit out of them. Which would happen. So it's really not a big deal. But I think that perhaps one of the reasons why this is happening is to kind of like set the stage for other sports. The Independent Council on Women's Sports sent a letter to the U.S. Masters Swimming Board explaining that allowing Caldas to compete violates their fair play policies and compromises the integrity of the competition. Yeah, I'm going to say this. If I have a daughter that's competing in any type of sports, let's say intercollegiate or perhaps high school or whatever, and is getting posted up in the paint by a person born a dude, wants to become a chick, and is just getting an ass kicking because of it, I'm going out on the court and somebody's getting punched in the face. I'm sorry. This is Anna before Anna became Anna. Anna was Hugo. So basically, Hugo became a woman and then got jacked. Why not just stay a dude and become jacked? No, I take it back. I can understand why Hugo can be uncomfortable in the body of a male. That does happen. All right? I know this firsthand how that is. And it's as obvious to a transgender person. Like if someone said to you, let's say, whatever, any of you that are a man or a woman, and I said to you, all right, I want you to imagine yourself as a different gender. How uncomfortable is that? And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, it really is uncomfortable. I can't imagine being a man or being a woman, being the opposite gender of what I am. That's what transgender people feel every single day. Very difficult way to live. That's why so many of them end up taking their own lives. They're also humiliated. They're treated as outcasts. Their own family deserts them. And I'm here for all of them, unless if they decide to compete man to a woman in sports. It's bullshit. You can't have that. All right. That's my soapbox for the day. My God, what an image. If you have comments, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Stand by. I've got an important phone call coming in, and I need to take it. Stand by, my dear. I'll be right with you.
Good
for it. Sorry, I'm back. It was my friends from Q100 wanting me to record a commercial for them. Maybe EZ should call Trump next. Ah, no. He's busy. He's busy trying to do whatever he does. Tyler says, I was hoping it was Trump calling to talk about the White House remodel. It's been too long. Trump's busy. All right. Where do we go next? Oh, my gosh. You're going to love this. The artist Shirley Manson from the band Garbage. Great band, by the way. They're no longer going to tour. If they do tour, it would just be one-off shows. And Shirley Manson did a little speech from the stage about how it is no longer possible for them to tour and you know, make a living. And I've talked about this, excuse me, with you many times about how artists no longer can make any money because of the lay of the landscape. She talks about that a little bit, and then I'll come back and add my two cents. Stevie says, that's a bummer. They put on a great show. Interestingly, when that band first came out, I was at Z93, and they had just published their first work. And it was an album that featured two pretty good hits, one called I'm Only Happy When It Rains, and another one called Stupid Girl. And Butch Vig was the driving force behind that. And he was the producer of Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana. And then he got into his own band, and it's him and Shirley Manson. And I'm at the mobile home of rock and roll. And then I was told that they were going to be there to be interviewed. So I'm in this cornfield in the middle of nowhere, and there's a knock at the door. And I knew exactly who these people were because I was really into the music scene back then. I open it up, and outside of this mobile home at the welcome mat is Butch Vig and Shirley Manson. And they were there to promote the a show in Saginaw, Michigan. So I'm ushering Butch Vig and Shirley Manson through the mobile home of rock and roll. And she's, I think, Scottish. And she was in love with the idea that a 80,000-watt radio station is in the middle of a cornfield in this small community. And Butch Vig he was a little bit more startled by the accommodations. But I sat them down. I go, can I get you anything? Sure, I'll have some water. She wants some coffee. I go, I make some coffee. I bring them there, I sit them down, and then as poorly as I can at age 20-whatever, proceed to do an interview with these enormous names in the music industry. But at the time, I mean, Vig was an enormous name. Shirley Manson was not. But she was so engaging, and I fell in love with her, frankly. And she still is doing her thing, but not for long, because she has announced that they can't do it anymore. But that was my one brush. That was an easy brush with fame to be with Butch Vig and Shirley Manson of Garbage. This is Manson on stage at a show. It doesn't matter where, but you'll see her on stage. Here you go.
We have announced that this is our last headline
Denver
tour of North America. By that, we mean it has become entirely unsustainable for a band like us to come and tour anywhere except the coasts. and it's upsetting, but we've had a glorious 30-year career. And we really have
Oops. I don't know what just happened.
We have announced that this is our last headline tour of North America. By that, we mean it has become entirely unsustainable for a band like us to come and tour anywhere except the coasts. And it's upsetting, but we've had a glorious 30-year career. And we really have no complaints. But I bring this up every night because I think it's imperative that we all start to understand what exactly is going on in the music industry. And it's difficult to get your head around, right? Because you see all these big pop stars, and they're making billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they're rich, and they're glamorous, and they're amazing. But the problem is that most of the music industry is not made of these big pop stars. They're made of working musicians. And this is not a pity party for us. This is a alarm call for all the young generations of musicians who are in our wake and who we feel duty-bound to speak up for, because there's nobody speaking up for them. There is no governmental body. There's no fucking real effective union for musicians that fights for...
Which is what I've talked about on this show. Remember, I said they should all form a union.
Young musicians to get paid. The average musician makes $12 a month on Spotify. They're sleeping in their vans. They're holding down numerous jobs, and they're playing their guts out every night. And the fact that they are not even able to sell a record, and it's taken from them by rich motherfuckers on streaming platforms who get paid royally, by record labels who get paid royally, by Ticketmasters who get paid royally, by merch companies who get paid royally. The list goes on and on and on. There's accountants, there's lawyers. They're all fucking getting paid, except for the musician. So I bring this up tonight because you are the ones who will lose out on generations of esoteric, risk-taking, creative, adventurous, weirdos, rebels, agitators, provocateurs. You're going to get fucking white bread. That's it. So thank you so much for coming out tonight, for supporting us for 30 years. Our love is strong for you. Keep supporting.
Just buy vinyl when you
can. You've been so good to us. We do hope we will see you again. We can't guarantee it. In the meantime, have an incredible life. Live long, live hard, be safe, and be kind. We love you.
Support the weirdos, or all you'll get is white bread. All right, that was adorable. That was just fantastic. Well, you did that. It's your fault. You did all of that. Any band that looks you in the face and says, we're not making any money because of Spotify. Asshole, you made your music available on Spotify. You didn't have to make your music available on Spotify or on streaming services. I think you're talking to the wrong people. The artists need to band together and figure that out, so that they can actually earn a living. Why didn't you not make your... Why you should have not made your music available on Spotify. If you're a fan of the band Garbage, and then Garbage says, well, our music is not available on Spotify or any online source except for on our own website, and you can pay for it. Wouldn't you go and get the music? Or is that too much to ask? I don't accept that, frankly. I think that if a band really wanted to make an impact, they would not allow their music to be played on Spotify. And they would make a big deal about it. It takes a big act. You know, if one of these big acts, like let's say the Foo Fighters, who are embarking on a tour, said, we will no longer have our music on any online sources. The only way you can get our music is if you purchase it from our website, or buy the CD, or buy the vinyl, or buy the 8-track, or buy the cassette. That is the only way to get our music. And then others followed suit. That's the only way. You would have to take control back. You all sold your fucking souls when you made your music available on Spotify. Now, if all of them banded together somehow and figured that out, if one of you was a pioneer and trailblazed your way through it and figured that shit out and convinced them one at a time, because the dominoes would fall, then perhaps that would be great. Because if all the big hitters decided to pull their shit from Spotify, the other ones would follow suit, all in an effort so that you can make money. Clown of Carnage says they can only do that if they own the rights to their music. Well, either negotiate or don't sell them. It's going to be hard before it gets easy. I don't, you know, just sitting there and bitching like that. I mean, that was a great speech and all, but I think you're your own worst enemy there. You relinquishing the rights to whatever it is you do. You didn't have to do that. Nobody held a gun to your head. If you've got something worth fighting for, do that. You can't just throw your hands in the air and say, we quit. Everybody else should follow suit. It's not our fault. It's the music industry's fault. I don't know if I buy that. You know, nobody's making you do anything. I will be back. It's time to go, and I have to use the boys' room. So I appreciate you guys so much, and I will be back. Stand by, please. Oh, no! Damn it! I hate that so much. So awkward. Son of a bitch! Tyler says, excited for the damn it when he realizes, LOL. I hate when I do that. God. We were talking about the yesterday about the gambling thing with Chauncey Billups. A little bit more about that. So just so you know how this unfolded. The cops say, feds say, for years, Chauncey Billups has been involved in poker games, illegal poker games to begin with mob associates for four of the five families in New York, Lucchese, Bonanno, Gambino, and Genovese families. Word gets around, hey, Chauncey Billups! You can play cards with poker with Chauncey Billups, NBA Hall of Famer. Wouldn't you want that? They all gather around the table, and then the one stooge is there. The rest are in on it, and then they take that guy for every penny by cheating. They use technology. One of the things that they use is... somebody will wear X-ray glasses, which I thought that was only a thing like in the back of comic books. It actually is a thing. You have X-ray glasses. Now, they work with trick cards. So the cards, there's an example of it right here. These are the glasses Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones would use to rig the poker games. So the cards look like this on the table, which would look like any cards that you would be playing poker with. And then you put on the glasses, and that's what you see. Where the design, the artwork on the back of the card is when the glasses are on, you can see K, Q, J, 3, 8, boldly on the card. That's remarkable. So you got to have the trick deck and you got to have the glasses. That's just one of the things that they used. Also, X-ray machines built into the tables to read face-down cards. I don't know why you need that if you got the glasses. Secret cameras in the card trays. Oh, God, this is something. There was also, I saw one thing about a professional poker player who he said that it's resurfacing. Of poker player from 2023 about a game with Chauncey Billups that he said was fixed. Poker player
on Chauncey Billups cheating. I can't find it.
Anyway. Stabbing your face with needles.
What the fuck am I doing here? So that was part of it, part of the indictment that was handed down. But that's a shit show. Absolute shit show. My God. Murder Lover Linda says, how much of an asshole is the fifth family? Or how much of assholes are the fifth family that were left out of the thing? And then the other thing is the basketball player who was betting on the prop bets. So the game starts, and then he's bet that he, Terry Rozier, all right, I will be under 4 assists. And then he gets 3 assists, and then he's like, oh, I'm hurt. Take me out of the game. And then he would collect the money. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.